We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Today, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Very excited for this message. I'm going to let you know right now that this is the kind of message that you might leave this service a little sore. You might leave this service a little convicted, a little challenged. But I think it's good to be challenged. I think it's good to be convicted. It's good for us to grow because a lot of us, man, we're getting a little too comfortable. And I think it's time for us to shake some things up. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I just want to give you a little background quickly. Paul is writing this letter to the church at Corinth. And let me tell you, this is a wild church. If you have not read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, it is a wild church. I'm going to tell you, though, it doesn't look too much different than what churches look like today. Okay, now. And what's going on in the church at Corinth is there's a lot of different things happening. There's sexual immorality. There's incest going on. There is prostitution. I'm not saying outside of the church. I'm saying in the church. In the church, these things were going on. People were suing each other. I don't know about y'all, but I'm not trying to sue anybody here. But that's what was going on there at the time. So Paul, these letters are really to call them back to who they truly are, who Jesus called them to be. And the biggest problem is with this church was they were having a hard time detaching themselves from the world. They were having a hard time detaching themselves from their old self. I don't know if you can relate to that or not, but I can. And that's exactly what this is about. And Paul writes this specific piece of the letter in regards to the issues that they're going through to remind them why they are alive in the first place. And I think that's a reminder that we all need today. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. It says this: "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it." Come on, somebody say, "We do it." "We do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave." Come on, y'all gonna leave a little sore. I'm telling you. "So that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." The title of my message today is "Time to Wake Up." Time to wake up. I hope we're taking notes. I hope we are. I'm taking notes as I'm preaching as well, because it's for me too. Let me tell you a quick story. Anybody here an athlete? Raise your hand if you are an athlete. Raise your hand if at one point or another you were an athlete. Raise your hand if you almost made it professionally, but you had an injury somewhere in college, and all of a sudden you didn't make it, but you were supposed to be a Hall of Famer. Maybe that's you. That's okay. We've all been there. Well, I grew up in a family of athletes, and my aunts and my uncles, they all swam. Now, you might be like, swimming, that's not, it is, it's a sport, okay? And it's actually really, really hard. Like, it's really hard. And I grew up swimming. When I was about 2-3 years old, I started to get into, like, swimming classes, which, by the way, my daughter is, like, was 8 months, I think, when we got her signed up for swimming, and she kind of likes it. Doesn't swim. She floats a little bit. But I started swimming when I was really, really young. And, you know, I loved it, and I started competing when I was about 5-6 years old. I was competing against kids that were 2-3 years older than me. So I'm not going to brag, but I was pretty good, okay? Now, it happened about when I was about 9-10 years old that I decided to, you know, I'm going to switch to soccer. Because soccer is really the biggest sport where I'm from in Peru. It's the biggest sport. So I said, you know, I really enjoy it. I'm going to go ahead and play it instead. So I stopped swimming altogether. So I decided to commit to soccer. And then a couple years went by, and, you know, all of the friends that I had been swimming with for years, they continued to do it. And I didn't, of course. I was focused on soccer because I wanted to be a professional player. But then I got an injury and I didn't make it. I was supposed to be a Hall of Famer. But then, you know, here comes a time when we have these, like, in-school Olympics almost, where we do different sports. And the coach that I had at the time, he came up to me and said, "Hey, you should, you know, try to compete in swimming." And I said, "You know, I haven't swum in years." But something inside of me was like, "I got this." Like, I never lost it. You know, I know that I haven't trained in years, but I know that I can do it. So I showed up, you know, really confident, some may say. I showed up in soccer shorts. Those were my swim trunks. And I'm making fun of the kids that have, you know, the little Speedos and their swim caps. And I'm like, "What are you guys doing? Like, we're in a high school, elementary school competition. But these kids were professional. So I end up, getting set up. And I'm like, I'm really confident at the time. I'm telling you. Like, I really thought I was going to take it home. I was almost like doing the coach a favor by just showing up. And then I line up and I jump in the water. And, you know, the rest is history. The reality is I have not drank as much pool water as I did that day. Because, man, when I tell you, we were supposed to do 4 laps, and when I got to the end of that first lap, the people were done. I mean, I was just trying to survive at that point. But I told myself, I'm not quitting. And I remember I signed up with one of my buddies, and he jumped in with me. But he left right away. He realized, he made the wise decision. He said, I'm not made for this. And I thought I had it in me. But regardless, I tell you that story because I feel like a lot of us can relate to feeling like we are prepared for something, like we have what it takes to get into something, and then we get there and we're like, I don't know what I am doing here. I've made a mistake. I've made a bad, bad mistake. You see, I set a goal for myself, but I did not train for that goal, and then I ended up making a fool out of myself. Let me tell you this, just because you claim to be something doesn't mean that's who you are. And speaking things into reality needs to be followed by action, not just words. And I cannot imagine what it would be like for me to make it to the end of life and cross over into eternity. And in my mind, think that I am meeting Jesus and be wrong the entire time. Think that I'm in good standing with the Lord and then realize that I was never a true follower of Jesus. I wonder how many of us are so out of shape spiritually that we are blinded by how far away we are from the person God called us to be. Because I believe some of us have become lazy, you know? And I can relate to this. We all start on fire for the Lord, but then we get tired and lazy and we start walking instead of running. Do you guys remember doing the mile in high school? Everybody knows the mile in high school. I remember these kids that would just show off and they start sprinting and, you're jogging and you're like, okay, kid, like, great, you're cool. And then they get into the second lap and they are sobbing and dry heaving and about to pass out because they gave it all they had for the first, 30 seconds, and then they could not keep the stamina. They did not have the endurance to actually finish the mile. And I wonder how many of us started off like that. We started off on fire for the Lord and we were committed to the mission and we were spreading the gospel, and then all of a sudden something changed. And we got lazy and we got tired and we got comfortable and we started walking when the Lord called us to run. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. You know, Pastor Jordan and I, we're always very cautious when it comes to, when we hear people and we see people that are on fire for the Lord. Now, we are to be on fire for God. But there's something called gasoline fire, okay? I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but I'm about to give up my man card for a second because I sometimes have a hard time starting a fire, all right? And so when no one is looking, I may or may not sneak into the shed, get a little gasoline out, and pop it over the fire. Now, of course, some of my friends, they know the smell, so they call me out in that moment. But at the time, it looks really cool, and it looks like I know what I'm doing. And the flames go up, and I'm excited, and I'm like, hey, guys, look at the fire that I made. This is so good. I did this. No help at all. But then 30 seconds go by, and the flames go down, and there's not a fire anymore. And then I'm scrambling to try to grab some branches and some grass and anything that I can get a hold of to just throw in the fire to keep it alive, but it's not enough. Why? Because all the time that I thought there was a fire going on, it was just a surface level burn. So my question to you today is, are you at a surface level fire? Or have you actually given it enough time? Have you given it enough effort? Have you actually gone deep enough for the coals, for the wood to take on the fire? Because I believe a lot of us are just running on empty. And we had this gasoline fire at one point, but we didn't want to put in the effort to see it sustained. So the question to you is, what was it for you? Why did you start walking? That's a personal question. I know y'all can't answer me at once. But maybe for you it was unanswered prayers. Maybe you were believing for something and you thought it was going to happen because, you know, you read your Bible and you were like, God did some miraculous things in the Bible, you know, back in the day. And I believe that it's going to happen today. And then it didn't change when you thought it was going to change, but maybe it did and you just didn't have the eyes to actually see it. But then all of a sudden you started doubting and you started walking because you were like, maybe this whole thing is just not real. Or maybe you disagreed with the Bible, which, by the way, it happens. Doesn't mean the Bible's wrong. Means we live in a fallen world and we have something called our flesh that constantly fights against what God calls us to do. But maybe you were disagreeing with the Bible at one point. You're like, I cannot get past this. This is too much for me. I can't agree with this. Maybe that's why you started walking. Maybe you weren't able to overcome something that you were struggling with for a long time. Maybe you were praying for a family member to come to know Jesus. And you've been believing for years and years and years, and you're just getting tired of just believing for something that doesn't seem to happen in your time. But that's a question you got to answer. Because whatever it was, let me remind you of something. God never changed. God never changed, only we did. And the same God that you fell in love with years ago is the same God that's calling you to run today. Amen. And let me remind you of this. While you've been walking, our world has been falling apart. I don't got to point anywhere. You just have to open up your eyes and see that the people that you are believing for are running so far away from the Lord. We need to remain on fire for God and run this race. And one of the ways that we remain on fire for the Lord is through discipline. No one likes that word, discipline. I feel like some people, when they hear that, they like twitch. They feel something on their behind. Discipline. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. See, we don't remain a believer and a follower of Christ through our feelings. Feelings will lead you to doubt God's existence, doubt his sovereignty, and doubt that he is just. Because you don't feel like what he did was fair. That's where feelings take us. But feelings and temptations and struggles, they come from our flesh. We're in a constant struggle between our spirit and our flesh. That's what Galatians chapter 5, verse 7 tells us. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in constant conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. So we have not exercised our spiritual muscles in months, maybe years. And it's time, church. It's time to wake up. It's time to be the people that God called us to be. It's time to get that fire going once again. Because let me tell you, the time is near. Did we forget that tomorrow is not promised? Did we forget that the Lord could be coming back any day? And we're here waiting with our arms folded like we have it all figured out. But let me tell you something. You are not doing the mission if you're comfortable. You're not doing the mission if you are comfortable. And until we get uncomfortable, we won't figure out the potential that's inside of us. So you think if I just show up to church, if I just go through the motions, that's more than enough. But did you forget that God put a purpose inside of you to make an impact in this world today? You were born, you're here today, 2021. You lived through the pandemic for a reason. And sometimes we're just living through it, not understanding we were meant to be in it. So come on, we gotta wake up and get back to the people that God called us to be. So how do we win the race called life? Number one, you gotta set yourself apart. This is really important. We gotta set ourselves apart. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, the scripture we just read. Says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. I love this scripture because it says everybody goes into training. Everybody invests into something. Everybody puts effort towards something. I'm not saying that y'all are lazy in general. I'm saying maybe in the spiritual side, you have not invested the time that you needed to. But maybe you've invested into getting a home. Maybe you've invested into getting a job and getting that promotion. Maybe you've invested into getting married. You're invested into relationship. You're invested into growing your family. All these worldly desires, which I'm not saying they're bad within themselves, but the problem is that when you take that and make it your God, that's an issue. See, we work really hard to accomplish these worldly goals, but we forget about the most important one. And our goal as Christians is to reunite with our Savior, Jesus Christ, and to spread the gospel so that more people can do the same. Amen? But we need to wake up and remember we're not of this world. We get caught up in what is trendy. We get caught up in what is hot. We get caught up in what the latest technology is. We get caught up on what's cool and what's not. And we get caught up on these trends where we look at everybody around us and we begin to compare ourselves and ask God, God, it seems like you want me to go in this direction. But the Lord said we're not of this world. So why do we try to look like it? Why do we try to look like the world that is actually against us? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So we need to set ourselves apart. Did you guys ever watch in 2018, they released Tom Brady's documentary, I think it was Tom versus Time. And I know, it's a sore subject because of what's happening today. I understand. But let me just get this analogy out, okay? So Tom Brady, in this documentary that they did, you got a bit of an inside scoop into how this man lives and what he abstains from and what he chooses to do. And let me tell you, when I watched the documentary, I just thought, this guy's weird. Like, yeah, you're a little odd, man. You're a little odd. Like, the things that he was doing and the things that he wasn't doing, I was like, why are you doing that? Like, why are you being so extra? Like, there's no need. But this is the same man that was 43 years old when he got his 7th Super Bowl ring. So maybe he's doing something right. I mean, the reality is, he's not abstaining from things that are bad for people, but he knows what's really good for him. See, because a lot of times we think, well, this is not that bad. I mean, it's not hurting me in any way, shape, or form. Right. But is it beneficial to you? Here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. You say, "I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you." You say, "I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial." So can we stop making decisions in our lives based on just, well, it's not bad for me. Well, it's not going to kill me. Well, it's not, I mean, I'm not like going against God. But if we're living outside of what God is calling us to do, we're going against God. We gotta be smart and understand that we need to set ourselves apart. And you know, I think based on emotions, we a lot of times think that, well, it's not bad for me, right? But maybe it's not God's time for you. You know, this just brings to mind yesterday when I went out to dinner and with some of my buddies, and we were celebrating one of our young adults was getting married. Praise the Lord. And we went out to eat, and I was having a burger. And I thought, it's just a burger. Let's get a little fancy. Threw a fried egg in there, okay? Because I don't know if that's a Spanish thing or what, but we have fried eggs with everything. And I threw a fried egg on it, and I didn't realize that it was a double stack burger. Okay, so then it came out, and I just looked at it, and we looked at ourselves, and the guy that was getting married, we looked at each other, because I was like, we got the same burger. And almost there was like this fear, instant fear inside of us, like we made a mistake. And I knew it was a mistake when I couldn't actually bite the burger because of like the size of the burger. And there was a point in time where like at the very end of the night, I was the only one still eating. And I had about 3 bites left. And when I tell you that I saw my life flash before my eyes, and I asked one of my friends, I said, "Man, do you believe that I can do this?" And he said this, and I love it. He said, "I know you can, but I don't think you should." And I'm here to tell you that I did it. Anyway, I'm not gonna lie. But this is, I give you that example because that's how we are a lot of times, right? In our lives, in our spiritual walk, we say, you know, I can do this. It's not really bad for me, right? But you probably shouldn't because it's not good for you. Right? So let's stop making decisions based on what is bad for us. Let's start doing them based on what is good for us. Number one is you got to set yourself apart. Number two, we have to run with purpose on purpose. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26, so the scripture we read earlier says, "Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air." Have you guys ever been to like a town soccer game or a basketball game. You ever been to like Boys and Girls Club and you watch the little 3-4-year-olds running around and they swear they're in the NBA. But the problem is that they have not scored a basket in hours. I mean, like, I'll get there and I'm like, you know, to support. Like, I remember when my siblings were really young, we would go and watch them and I'm just like, but like no one won, no one scored, and then they'd come back like they're tired, they're exhausted. And I'm like, well, at least you had fun. And I wonder how many of us today are just having fun in our spiritual walk. How many of us are just going through the motions and, well, I'm having fun and I'm working a lot and I'm doing this for the Lord. Right, but how many of the things that you're doing are actually impacting the kingdom? How many of the things that you're doing are actually going towards the mission that God called you to? Because you might be really busy. You might be really involved. You might know a lot of people. You might be trying to sow a lot of seeds. But let me tell you, there's a difference between being busy and doing God's work. There's a big difference. I think a lot of us are like, this is a lot of fun. I'm having so much fun. But you don't realize that when the buzzer goes off and the time is up, no one scored. You didn't score a soul for heaven. You didn't even score your own soul. See, we're so focused on just having fun. It's just about having fun. You only live once, right? But as Christians, we live twice. And we act like we don't. See, a lot of us, we're just going through these motions. You know, you read your Bible, you go to church, you listen to worship music, you pray here and there. We burn out doing the same things. I love that phrase, burnout. I'm burnt out. You're burnt out doing things that are actually not impacting the kingdom, so you don't feel like you're actually fulfilling your purpose. So you feel like you're just running laps around the same place and not actually changing anything and not making an impact in the world. That's why you're burning out. So what is our purpose? What are we called to do? A few Pharisees, they asked Jesus this same question in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. It says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to live?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two." See, when you love Jesus, you do whatever it takes to honor, glorify, and serve him. When you love yourself, you care about your salvation, eternity, and freedom. And when you love others as yourself, you care just as much about theirs. A lot of people are like, man, I love people, right? But do you love yourself? That's a whole nother message. You want to be a lover of people, but you don't even accept yourself. Well, how are you supposed to love people like you love yourself? That's why you don't love people. That's why you have such a bitterness against people. That's why you don't want to get around people, because you don't even like being by yourself. So that's my second point. Run with purpose on purpose. My third point. Keep your eyes fixed. Keep your eyes fixed. See, a lot of people, they use the metaphor of horse blinders. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, where horses are in races and they go like this so that you stay focused. But I've realized in the past few years, especially the last 2 years, that we don't need to see something to be distracted by it. Hello. We just need to hear about it. We just need to hear about it. What we need is sound-canceling headphones, y'all. We keep allowing the enemy to distract us through worldly voices. I'm going to ask you this. What voice are you giving power to in your life? What are you listening to today? Are you listening to the media? Are you listening to the news? Are you listening to the voice of God? Are you listening to your friends? Are you listening to your teachers? Who is it that you are really giving a voice in your life for guidance? Who is it that you're really allowing to speak into your life? See, because the reality is this. A lot of times we allow people to put thoughts inside of us that all of a sudden become fear in us. And then all of a sudden there's this anger towards other people because they disagree with us. I'm not talking to anybody here, of course, right? You got to ask yourself this. Does this matter to the kingdom? Does this matter to the mission? Does this matter to God? I'm not saying it doesn't matter to you. It might matter to you a lot. You might care about this specific topic, this specific thing a lot. I know you might. but doesn't matter to God. Not based on your opinion, not based on your feelings, but based on God's word doesn't matter to the Lord. Because if it doesn't matter to God, why does it matter to you? I'm sorry, y'all. I know I told you we're leaving sore today. Why does it matter to you if it doesn't matter to God? Because sometimes we become our own God. And we think that we know best than God. And we say, God, you should care about this. And we start to try to take scriptures out of context to back up our opinion. And we say, it's in the Bible. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's not how it happened. I get that's what it says, but you got to read the context of the scripture. You know, if you don't know your why, you will keep allowing distractions to get in the way. You know, I don't know if you guys know, but college athletes, a lot of times college athletes, especially Division I, are not allowed to have a significant other. I know it happens sometimes, but most times they're not, especially in the first few years. Why? Because coaches understand they may be a distraction. And they may all of a sudden start to invest more into the relationship than into their football future. So it comes down to, what do you really want? Right? We see it all the time in our youth ministry where we have youth come and they're on fire for the Lord, and all of a sudden they get a little boyfriend or girlfriend and then they're gone. And I tell them the same thing every time and they listen to me and then they go and do the same thing. And we laugh. But for us, it's not a boyfriend or girlfriend. For us, it's a job. Right? For us, it could be a husband or a wife. For us, it could be kids. Listen, these things within themselves, they're not bad, but they become bad. They become sinful when we actually make them our God. When we start to idolize this thing before God and we listen to them instead of listening to God. Because let me tell you, the enemy is coming after unity. He looks to create division in your marriage, in your families, in your friendships, in your community groups, in your churches. Hello. The enemy is coming after unity. And we need to open up our eyes and realize that the enemy is pinning us against each other. And we are wasting too much precious time. Amen. Remind you of this. The enemy can also show up through people. We keep allowing other people to dictate how we ought to feel, how we ought to live. But can I remind you of something? This is a fallen world. We all understand that. We live in a fallen world. And if we get that we are not of this world, then why do we listen to the world? It's like, it's basic math, y'all. But we get so caught up in it, and we just begin to live like the world, and we begin to fear the things that the world fears. We begin to be mad about the things that the world gets mad about. We begin to get sad and upset about the things the world gets mad and upset about. And we're like, I just don't understand why I don't have any peace. Because you're not meant to be in all that mess. As I finish my last point, let your actions speak louder. Let your actions speak louder. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27 says, no, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. See, everyone feels the need to tell others how to live. But ask yourself this, am I doing what I'm preaching? Am I actually doing what I'm preaching? Don't preach what you plan to do. Preach what you've already done. You see, I love in the scripture, Matthew chapter 7, I don't have time to go into it, but someone asked Jesus about judgment and about correcting others, and Jesus tells them, hey, look, don't judge, because you'll also be judged if you judge others. How can you tell somebody they got something in their eye when you got a whole plank in your eye? How can you call somebody else a sin when you are, come on now. He says, you're just going to end up hurting them. See, we're called to correct one another. But there's a difference between correcting and judging. Judging is to make you feel good about something that you're better at than someone else. Correcting is so that they grow. And let me tell you this, social media is not the place to correct people. I hope we save that and put it somewhere, y'all. Facebook is not the place to correct people. The only one that is called to judge is Jesus. Correction, it comes from a place of freedom. Because if you try to correct someone, if you try to, you know, tell them how to live, but you're doing exactly what you're telling them not to do. It's like a parent that says, don't do as I do. I'm sorry if that's you. But the reality is we expect our children to respect us and to trust us and to want to look up to us, but we tell them to not live like we live, and we get upset when they're disrespectful, when they don't honor us. But the reality is that we're telling them not to. God does not disqualify us. We disqualify ourselves by the contrast between what we say and what we do. So let me ask you this today, church, as I close. What are you running towards? Or better yet, what are you walking towards, if that's you? Because everybody trains for something. Everybody invests into something. Everybody is sowing a seed somewhere. What fruit is going to grow? You might be sitting here today saying, I've invested into all the wrong things. I've wasted so much time. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you feel like, you know what? I've been walking in my spiritual life. And I know it's time to get moving because tomorrow is not promised. So come on, let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Because like I said, maybe you're here today and you have invested into worldly things. You've invested into things that you thought were going to bring you freedom, bring you satisfaction. But let me tell you, that is just a vicious cycle. Because the moment that you start seeking freedom from the world, you seek it in things that will only entangle you further in that bondage. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to set us free. The freedom that you're looking for is found in Jesus. So if you're here today and you have not made a decision to accept Jesus into your heart, but you have tried everything else, and you still lack peace, and you still lack freedom, let me tell you, it's found in Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.